Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 159, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee, but thou wilt hear my cry. 159, 1 and 2. Let us first listen to the holy law of God, as you can find it in Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We turn then to Exodus 16, Exodus 16, the first 18 verses. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses saith unto them, This is the bread the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Thus far, the sacred and precious Word of God. In addition to the list mentioned in the bulletin, we want to remember this morning the family that was wonderfully spared in Haiti, an MAF pilot from our congregations in Chilliwack, Jason Kroll, with his wife Wilhelmina and their child Jaden. They were able to be evacuated yesterday and hope to move on to Canada tomorrow. And then Jason will be sent back perhaps in a week or two to help with the relief efforts. But let us have our prayers continue for them and for the situation in Haiti. Mr. Dibbitt will remember the prayer needs due to the time constraints for the Lord's Supper this evening. But we do want to particularly remember the major devastation in Haiti also this morning. Let us seek God's face in prayer. Glorious and precious God, who art altogether faithful and kind, we bow before Thee in these moments of sacred communion, in prayer, in word, in sacrament. We ask, O God, for Thy tender presence, that Thou wouldst come to us with the still small voice of the gospel this morning, and feed the souls of Thy people with their manna, their spiritual manna, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, Thou knowest how far we can wander away from Thee, and perhaps many of Thy people this morning are gathered here feeling a far way off from Thee. But, O Heavenly Father, hast Thou not said that while we as prodigals are a great way off, Thou dost see us and dost yearn over us, and our piteous condition dost touch Thy heart, and Thou dost run to us, evident, so evident in the sacrament, and dost embrace us and enrobe us, and dost kill the fatted calf, even Thy only begotten Son, for us, and dost want to feast with us. Lord, we see it confirmed again this morning, and we beseech of Thee, do draw near, do feast with us, do satiate our souls with Thyself. Do let Thy love wash over us like a cleansing balm to heal our souls and to refresh us and to encourage us in the way that lies before us. Lord, Thy love is a beautiful love, a costly love, a tender love, a sacrificial love, and we want to meditate on that love this morning. Please distract our every distraction, so that we might focus only on Thy love for poor sinners, so that when our heart is overwhelmed with the dead weight of sin, the sweet power of Thy love, stepping into our place, bearing our iniquity, satisfying the law for us, making all things well in the presence of the Father, might overwhelm us rather than crush us. O Lord, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. O, we beg of Thee then this morning, show us that love. Show us that love for murmurers, for whiners, for complainers, for those who don't respond to Thee as they should. And draw us as poor sinners to the rich and the glorious Savior. Oh, let us behold the King in His beauty this morning, and let us rejoice in the fullness of Thy salvation, and let us remember all the way that Thou hast led us through this waste, howling wilderness. Also, since the last Lord's Supper, and the last year, and the last decade, Lord, Thou hast been faithful to an unfaithful people, and this morning We commemorate that with humble gratitude, rendering thee all the praise and all the thanksgiving for thy bountiful mercies. We thank thee, O God, that by thy grace we are what we are, and we pray, do draw to thyself this morning every single member of this congregation who knows what it means to be a sinner before a holy God and drawn to trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. Let no one, Lord, who knows this by experience, stay away from the table of the Lord. But Lord, help us to hear what our catechism says so simply, so profoundly. He has commanded me and all believers to come and show forth the death of the Lord. Lord God, we pray, as we make confession this morning, on one side or the other, by coming that we need this Savior, by staying away that we can somehow manage ourselves without this Savior, and oh, what a confession is that. Help us, Lord, to understand that we cannot remain neutral this morning. It is one side or the other. It is treasuring the blood of Jesus, or it is trampling that blood underfoot and declaring, I can make ends meet in my life without the blood of Jesus Christ. O God, open the eyes of the unsaved to see the boldness of their confession, how bold it is that they can go on without Jesus. But also, especially, Lord, those tender babes who are afraid to come, oh, show them that they should rather be afraid to stay away and to bring further darkness upon their souls when they are not strangers of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Lord, draw, we pray, those tender babes to thyself this morning, so that they don't eat and drink judgment to themselves by staying in their seats, and by denying the Lord who has bought them, and the Lord who has shown them their need, and the Lord who has drawn them to thyself. O God, have mercy upon them. Don't become angry with them for disobeying thee, Lord's Supper after Lord's Supper after Lord's Supper after Lord's Supper. But draw them, we pray. Break those bonds of unbelief and bring them to thyself this morning, openly declaring, I can no longer stay on the side of that people who says, I can live without Jesus Christ. I need him too badly. And so I come. If I perish, I perish, but then I will perish at the feet of Jesus. And those who perish there, Lord, thou knowest, will never, never perish. Be pleased now to bless us. Bless the administration of this sacrament. Help us in preaching and in ministering it. And let all things redound to thy honor and glory. And Lord, do remember those not able to gather with us this morning, who desire to be here, but for one means or another, cannot gather. Give them true communion wherever they may be, and satiate their souls with the fat things of thy house. Also those listening on church phones and on internet, Lord, commune with them in their innermost soul, we pray. And bless all the sick and the afflicted, and those in the hospital, and those in various needs and various degrees of pain. Oh, relieve them, we pray, and show them thy salvation. Strengthen in a special way Becky Dibbitt, Lord, as she recuperates from the loss of an unborn baby And as she is gravely concerned about her grandmother, we pray, make everything well and gladden her and our brother, Scott Dibbitt, with thy tender deeds, and go with them in mercy and compassion, and be also with the Krulls and the dreadful situation in Haiti. Lord, graciously intervene and be a wonder-working God and bring this nation to bring relief to this nation, but also repentance to this nation, that they might turn to Thee, the living God, and find help from above, find vertical help as well as horizontal help. Oh Lord, minister to their every need and show compassion upon them. We ask all this with the pardoning of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing Psalter 419, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, while your first offering will be received for the general fund and the second for the benevolent fund this morning. The Lord bless you and your gifts. Forth from thy courts, thy sacred dwelling, in jubilant accord, we hear sweet strains of praises swelling, O Israel's mighty Lord. 419, 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, Moses received an amazing task to lead 2 million people through a very barren wilderness. And yet he had the promise that God would help him. And God helped him by teaching Israel through very simple providences, by providing them and instructing them, particularly through food and drink, using them as types and symbols. And so the Lord came to them in a very condescending way and said, "Here is water coming out of the rock for you. And the rock is Christ. And here is bread that I will provide for you for 40 years in the wilderness every morning. And that bread is manna, which is Jesus Christ symbolized." And so he taught Old Testament Israel in the wilderness through food and drink of Jesus Christ, just as he teaches us again this morning through bread and wine, food and drink, about Jesus Christ. He's the same God, and he comes to us in a condescending way, comes low this morning, and invites us to come and learn the lessons he has to teach us from the manna, from the bread, and from the water, from the wine, that point us to Jesus Christ. So this morning, we want to look very briefly with you at this theme of manna from Exodus 16, verse 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." So our theme with God's help this morning is manna for murmurers. Manna for murmurers. First, we'll look at the gift of manna. The Lord said, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." Second, the gathering of manna, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. And third, the test of manna, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my way, in my law, or no. Manna for murmurers. We'll look at the first point, the gift of manna, as a short sermon this morning, and then we'll consider the gathering and the test of manna at the tables of the Lord. Exodus 15 closes with a very encouraging note with regard to Israel's wanderings in the wilderness. We read, "They came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." So they had shade, they had food, they had everything they wanted, and they had a place of rest. They rejoiced in the God of their salvation. It was really, Elim was really a little paradise. So God doesn't only give Meras, places of bitterness, but also Elims to his people in this wilderness. And the Lord's Supper is a little Elim, isn't it? In the wilderness of this world, where God calls us to come around the table in horizontal fellowship and in vertical communion, to rest in the finished work of Jesus. and to magnify and glorify his name. And yet, Elam is not Canaan. Just as the Lord's Supper, though it's a foretaste of heaven, is not yet heaven, not the heavenly Canaan. And so, after this morning, we will have to go back into the world, won't we? Tomorrow. And so after Elam, the Israelites had to go back into the wilderness. They enjoyed the palm trees, the shade, the wells of Elam for a short time, just as we enjoy the fellowship around the table of the Lord for a short time. And as Elam was to prepare them to go back into the wilderness, so this Lord's Supper is to prepare us to go back into the wilderness of this world. And what a wilderness Israel found it to be. A desert place of sin. Every step they took led them further from inhabited country and conducted them deeper into desolate territory. Away from the civilized world, into the barren wilderness, into astonishing desolation. And that with 2 million people. And yet this is God's way. A difficult way? Yes. An impossible way? For man? Yes. So how are they going to react as they go further from Elam? How are you going to react 2 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, as you go further from this Lord's Supper, deeper into the wilderness of this world? Will Israel turn to prayer? Will you turn to prayer? Israel responds dreadfully. We read in verses 2 and 3 that when they became hungry, they returned to Moses and to Aaron and they murmured against them. And as Moses says later, and Aaron, really they were murmuring against God. Darker circumstances could scarcely be possible. Here are people who 45 days ago were delivered from Egypt. Could not the same God who brought them out of Egypt provide for them in the wilderness? Here are the same people hankering back after Egypt. Had they forgotten the hard taskmasters? Had they forgotten the hot furnaces? Here is the same people that were spared those awful plagues by their almighty God. The same people who went through the Red Sea dry shod and sang praises to God only one chapter ago. That people who had been guided by the divine pillar of cloud and the divine pillar of fire by day and by night, who experienced bitter waters made sweet, who rested at Elam, that people is murmuring and whining and complaining. It almost makes you angry when you read this, doesn't it? How could they treat God this way? This God who had been so good to them. But are we any different this morning? Really? Hasn't God been exquisitely good to you? Providing you all kinds of benefits and blessings and help in marvelous ways? Spiritually, spiritual opportunities, spiritual riches, spiritual fruitfulness, natural blessings. And how quickly we murmur. Every time we murmur, we are actually complaining against God. That's the whole point of this passage. Repeatedly, this is brought out. This is against God. Moses says, you think you're murmuring against me and Aaron, but you're murmuring against God because who are we? We can't rain bread down from heaven. So it is with us, congregation. How tragic it is that sin of complaining, of grumbling, of whining against God. What has God done against you that you confess by not coming to the table of the Lord, that you can live without Him? You really can't live without Him for 1 second. But you don't realize it. So you go through this world thinking you can somehow make ends meet without God. And you worry about bringing judgment to yourself if you come to the table of the Lord. But you don't worry about bringing judgment upon yourself if you don't come to the table of the Lord. And you continue in a lifestyle in which you don't fall upon Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation. That's a lifestyle of disaster, my friend. There is no hope, saith my God, to the wicked who go on without the Lord Jesus Christ. You're on the pathway to hell if you can go on without the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, when you're a child of God, here's a lesson here for us too, because we are all murmurers by nature. But we're also all murmurers after we receive grace. And at the Lord's Supper, we remind ourselves again what we deserve. We deserve nothing but death and hell. And once we see that, and we see what Jesus gives us at the table, Himself, symbolized by the bread and wine, no one ever, ever, ever has one right to complain in the smallest degree. So what is God going to do with these murmurers then? Well, common sense tells you what He'll do. He's going to destroy them. God has been so good, and they treated Him so bad. Every one of them deserves to be destroyed. So do you and I. We deserve to be destroyed. But look at the astonishing grace of God in verse 4. After they say, we'd rather be dead, or we want to go back to Egypt, these blasphemous murmurings. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will destroy. No, no, no. What? Not destroy, Lord? I will rain bread from heaven for you. You, the very murmurers who are going against you, Lord. Yeah? Behold. This is astonishing, congregation. Feel it with me. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. You murmurers, and the people should go out and gather it every day. I'm going to give it just once. I give it to you again and again and again and again. My goodness, I'm going to pour my goodness upon you. Goodness upon goodness upon goodness over against murmuring and murmuring and murmuring. And so my grace is going to stand in bold relief against your sin. You see, when we murmur, we always forget three things. We forget what we deserve at the hands of God, nothing but punishment. We talked about that. We forget all the faithfulness and love God has shown us in His promises and His acts of mercy. And thirdly, we forget that God allows us disappointments and hunger pains in this world, as it were, so that we might learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And so the Lord gives to a murmuring people so that His grace can be manifest and we can learn who He is and then learn to walk by faith, trusting in Him. But how can He give grace to murmurers? I thought God was holy. How can he have mercy upon people like you and me? Well, the answer is quite simple, and yet very profound. Because Jesus Christ never murmured, but took the place of murmurers in the most exquisite of sufferings. Even the death of the cross. And not one murmuring word escaped his lips. In fact, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done, O God." For 40 days in the wilderness of Satan, at Gethsemane, at Gabbatha, at Golgotha, under all the powers of hell unleashed upon him, he never complained once. Amazing grace, amazing substitute for amazing rebellious murmurers. And so God says, "Behold, Moses, see what I will do for you and the people. I promise now to feed you. I will feed you in the wilderness. I will give you blessing in the wilderness. For Christ's sake, who's borne your place and carried your sins and suffered your sorrows." But why? What's the purpose of it all? Well, of course, to save you. To save your soul, to bring you into eternal communion with God. But there's another purpose, an even more profound purpose. You see it in verse 12. "At even you shall eat the flesh. In the morning you shall be filled with bread." Why? "For you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I do this to show you my character. And my glory," verse 7, "and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord." In the morning, when the manna comes, you shall see the glory of the Lord. So God says, "I will do this surprising thing. I will give grace for murmurers. I will give a gift to murmurers. But I will do it not just for the sake of the murmurers. I will actually do it for my own sake through Jesus Christ being your substitute, that I may get glory over you, a murmuring people." And that is the gospel in a nutshell, my friends. That's what God is all about. That is who he is. That's his character. He wants to show his true Israel today, his needy people today, his glory. And what is his glory? His glory is his reputation. It's his honor. It's the weightiness. The word glory actually means weighty. Kabat in Hebrew. A weighty glory. It's the weightiness of God. The sum total of all his divine perfections. To know that he is the Lord. And to trust in him through Jesus Christ, the non-murmurer who took the place of murmurers, is therefore to know him as the God of glory. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to show us the God of glory at the table of the Lord for murmurers. And so he takes his role and he says, "Draw near to me. Come before me." Verses 9 and 10. "Come near before the Lord. He hath heard your murmurings." And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud, the Shekinah cloud, the cloud of God's special presence and protection, the cloud that magnified the glory of the Lord in the eyes of the people, that was a visible manifestation of his invisible majesty, God revealed to a murmuring people. And today, God comes with visible signs and seals as well. Not a cloud in the sky, but bread on the table and wine in the cup. And he says, as you eat, as you smell, as you taste, as you hear, as you see, as I come so low to reach you in all your senses, behold my glory. God of grace for murmurers, a free gift. And the following morning, when the people got up, they looked outside their tents and they saw all the manna covering the ground in great abundance as a free gift of God, free bread for them, which came from a sinless heaven and fell in the wilderness of sin. This glory was magnified the more. What a wonder. God comes in a helpless place, in the wilderness of sin, to helpless people, sinful people, and he gives his bread. Today, he comes and gives his living bread. Jesus Christ, spiritual manna. Will you come this morning and thank God for his unspeakable gift, this glorious manna? You know, this manna was small and round, white and sweet. Jesus Christ became small in his humble birth, small in his death. He died in shame, in contempt, and in pain. And he was round, that is, there was no beginning, no ending to him. He's from eternity past to eternity future. And he is white in his perfect righteousness, and he is sweet. As John Calvin said, he is all sweetness. Everything about him is sweet. The bride said, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Oh, dear child of God, come this morning and eat of this manna that is sweet to the taste. Sweet because he's your way of escape. Sweet because he's your salvation. Sweet because he gives it to murmurers. Sweet because it's a pledge of glory secured. Sweet because in him there's a way open to the reconciled Father's heart. Oh, everything of Jesus is sweet. Samuel Rutherford said, the rebukes of Jesus are sweeter than the kisses of the world. This morning he rebukes us for murmuring, but his rebukes are sweeter than the kisses of the world. Now this manna fell during the night, during the darkness, to show that man had nothing to do with it and show that all came from Jesus. And so during the darkness of our sin, as we live in the wilderness of sin, Christ came into the world for sinners. And he comes into your world in the midst of your darkness and comes as the bread of life and now says, eat of me, drink of me. For I am that bread from heaven. And notice too that the manna, this gift, comes exactly where the people are. They don't need to go out 1,000 miles to find it. It's right around their tents. They don't have to cross the wilderness to find it. It's right at hand. Verse 14 says, when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing as the hoarfrost on the ground, right around their tents. So it is today. God comes so close. He comes to our very mouths with his grace. He's the bread. He's the manna. He comes to our tent door this morning. And so we're faced with a choice. Will we trample the manna underfoot and count it a small thing, or will we gather it and come to Jesus as poor murmurers who need the bread of life? Will you, my unconverted friend, Will you once more reject this manna? Or you cry out for mercy? And you, dear beginner in grace, who cannot deny upon pastoral questioning that you know what it means to bemoan your sin, and you know what it means to need the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are hungry for Him, and you cannot live without Him. Why do you go on denying Him and confessing by standing in your seat the very opposite of what you confess to the ministers and elders when they come to visit you? You are a bundle of contradiction. Please don't keep putting yourself in darkness. If you know what it means to abhor your sin and flee to Jesus Christ as your only hope and your only righteousness, and you want to live a life of gratitude to Him, if you know something of misery, deliverance, and gratitude, you belong at the table of the Lord. The table is not spread for people who just have full assurance of faith. It's spread for beginners. He commands me and all believers to show forth the death of the Lord till He come. Please stop damaging yourself. Please stop bringing darkness upon yourself. It's His command, not mine. His command. Do this in remembrance of me. Come and gather this morning manna at His table. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 56. 56. My shepherd is the Lord who knows my needs. All stanzas of 56.
Thank you.
us turn to the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which you can find on page 136 in back of the Psalter. The preparatory material was read last week, so we actually begin at the top of the second column on page 137 as we look at why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. 137, second column. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now, after this manner, are we to remember him by it? First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and have certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we, by this same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains, one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us." And not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. We may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily, more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us. Not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us sing now while the table's being prepared from Psalter 415. Psalter 415, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 2. 415, 1 and 2. Behold, I will rain heaven, rain down from heaven, bread for you. For murmurers, for people who have nothing to offer the Lord but need everything from him. Dear friends, the table is ready, and the bread of life wants to give you manna, himself, to commune with you. So those of you who need him and cannot live without him, for who you find he's your only answer for your murmuring heart, please come forward now and remember the death of the Lord. And as you come, meditate on his goodness to you, how faithful he has been, how generous he has been, how bountiful he has been. Because who are you? And who are we? And what is our house that he has brought us hitherto? He's a faithful God, and he's brought you once more after several months to confess around this table, I need a spiritual manna, the Lord Jesus Christ. May he feed you richly in these moments. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we bow before Thee in these moments and we ask, come, Lord, show Thyself. Give manna unto Thy people and feed them for the journey that lies before them. Let this be a little Elam, Lord, a little paradise of communion to strengthen our weak faith and to give a crushing blow to our murmuring nature that we might be satiated and satisfied with Thy goodness. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of Christ. Take and eat, as He has said, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Come, He says, and gather. Manna. And what need we have for that, friends? You are obeying Him even now as you come to the table. You are gathering manna. But meditate just a moment on your tremendous need for this manna. What are you without the bread of life? You're nothing but a bundle of sin, a bundle of murmurings. You're no different, you're no better than Israel. Your need is intense. But the beauty of this bread of life is He comes and He meets this need. And as you eat this bread, meditate on what He's done to meet that need. It's not just giving you the bread, it's giving His life. And that's what this bread is a symbol of. He gave His all. He gave everything. So that you who deserve nothing may have everything. For you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. And so you have all things in God. That's why the meek shall inherit the earth, the heavens and the earth. And so from our great need, we experience great riches through this manna, the bread of life. Now, when Israel saw that manna around their tent doors, they didn't know what it was. They knew they were hungry, but they didn't know what it was. And so they said, what is it? And that is actually the Hebrew word, manna. Manna is to be translated, what is it? They didn't understand. They didn't know. But the beautiful thing is, as they ate, as they were instructed, bit by bit, the Lord taught them, this is your bread of life. And in the New Testament, in John 6, He makes it plain, abundantly plain, I am that bread that came down from heaven. I am the manna. So when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts, we know we're needy. We know we're hungry. We know we can't go on without the Lord, but we understand very little of the gospel, perhaps. But when He first brings it to our tent door, when He first brings it to our mouth, we say, what is it? But He teaches us. It's all in Jesus Christ. And so we come poor and needy all our lifetime to learn more and more and more about what it is, who Jesus Christ is, what He means for us. That's why we come to the Lord's Supper, to learn more of Him. And to end in Him as the manna of life the great answer to all our riddles and to all our questions. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. He has said, drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you and for many, for the remission of all their sins. This do in remembrance of me. People shall gather it, Jesus said. Exodus 16 says, I will rain bread from heaven, and ye shall go out and gather it. You see, you don't only need to gather it, but you actually need to go out and gather it. That's what you're doing right now. You came from your seat to the table to gather manna. Now, in that gathering, you can't do it for someone else. So it's a needed gathering, not only, but it's a personal gathering. You're here to share your love with fellow believers on a horizontal level, but you're here supremely to gather manna for yourself in order to glorify God on the vertical level. God says, I'll give you manna in the wilderness so that you will glorify me and that you will know that I am the Lord. Think about that, friend. Think about it personally in your own situation. Most of you, if not all of you, were here 3 months ago. What have you been in the last 3 months? A murmurer. We've complained about this, we've complained about that, haven't we? And yet, God has taught you in these last 3 months to fly to Him for forgiveness for everything, even for your murmuring. And you've been, day by day, you've been gathering. You open His Word, you search it. You come to church, you long to drink in the Word. And day by day, bit by bit, God is teaching you, I am the Lord your God. Behold my glory. Behold my perfections. I am the Lord your God. How, Lord? Through the bread, through the wine, through what they symbolize, the sufferings of the Messiah. It's all because of Jesus. That you can see the glory of the Lord. In fact, the glory of the Lord is in the gospel in such a predominant way that if man had never fallen and the world had remained perfect, the glory of the Lord could not have shone as abundantly as it does now in the face of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for sinners. Some people ask the question often, why did the Lord allow the fall to happen? Well, we don't know all the reasons, but one thing we know, to manifest the glory of the variety and diversity and riches and splendor and majesty of His perfections. Had there been no fall, He never could have manifested His grace the way He does in Jesus Christ. And so this manna points you to His glory a Savior for sinners, bread for murmurers, a cross to give you a crown. He died to let you live. It's the gospel, the glorious gospel of paradoxes, the glorious gospel of substitution. Jesus for you, Christ for you, your justification, Christ in you, your sanctification, Christ coming again, your eternal home. It's all Christ, you see. It's all manna. What is it? It's Christ. Behold the glory of the Lord and the sign and the seal of the bread and the wine. We will let others come to show forth the death of the Lord, and so we will sing from Psalter 415, stanza 3. 415, stanza 3. Once again, we invite those who know what it means to have manna fall upon them in the night seasons and to lead them into the riches of this glorious Savior. You are welcome to come now to the table of the Lord and show forth his death until he comes. What a Savior! He is round. Because he goes from eternity to eternity, he is sweet. Because everything about him is tasty, he is sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Please, if you are drawn to him, come forward and declare his glory and his beauty. There is room, several seats yet, room for the glory of the Lord to be shown. And remember, even as you come, his faithfulness to you. At no time has he forsaken you. At no time has he deserted you. Has he not been faithful today? Was he not faithful last week? Oh, focus on that. As you sit here, as you drink the wine, as you eat the bread, focus on his faithfulness over against your unfaithfulness. Not just his faithfulness at the cross, but his faithfulness in interceding for you. Every moment, keeping you every moment from the right hand of the Father. Let's pray. Gracious God, we bow again around this table. Please draw near. Feed each one gathered here with the manna of divine provision. And let us taste and see that the Lord is good. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat, as he has said, for this is my body, which is broken for you and for many for the remission of all your sins. Now, friends, we don't only need to gather, but we need also to eat. It's one thing to see the bread. It's another thing to find the bread. And yet it's another thing to eat the bread. And so he commands us, take and eat of this manna. Don't just look at it, he says. Eat it. Let every sense you have be involved, because I want to assure you, as surely as you eat this bread, so surely I will wash away your every sin. And so you see, just as Jesus partook in the depths of his soul of the experience of suffering, so we are the beneficiaries, and now in the depths of our soul, we get to experience eating and drinking the bread of life spiritually by faith, so that his death becomes our life and our nourishment. And so we must eat it. You see, some people, and perhaps you struggle with this too, so often we say, oh, could it but be for me? I'm such a murmurer. I'm such a sinner. I don't deserve it. And so we're prone to stay away. But it's exactly the opposite of what God wants us to do. What we think will honor God with real humility by staying away because we don't deserve it, God calls pride and false humility because he wants to give it. I don't know if you've ever tried to give something to somebody and they wouldn't accept it. You love them, you want to give it to them, it hurts you, they won't accept it. Well, God is not pleased when we refuse to eat the provision he provides to poor, needy sinners, poor murmurers like us, who are sick and tired of our murmuring and who want communion with him, who want to be with him, who want real things in our lives, real communion, the real and living God. He's available. But he says, come. Come and eat. Come and enjoy me. The whole Bible is full of it, isn't it? Come and see, he said to John and Andrew. Come unto me, O ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and dine. Come hither, I will show thee the bride. And then, of course, the last invitation of the Bible, perhaps the richest of all, the Spirit says, come. And the bride says, come. Let him that heareth, come. And take of the water of life freely. So when we gather, we don't only gather out of need, and we don't only gather because it's a personal matter, but we gather to eat. We gather to eat, to be strengthened, to be nourished by this great bread of life. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. He has said, drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of all your sins. Now, there's another important thing we have to be instructed by about this gathering. It has to be a daily gathering. Did you notice that all throughout Exodus 16? You must gather every day, the Lord says. And you gather your portion every day. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Now, today we're gathering at the table of the Lord, which is one important means of grace. And we do that every 3 months. But you see, there are other means of grace by which we gather, and one is reading the Bible. So every day we have to be in the Word. Every day we need to commune with the Lord. And communication is a two-way street. God communicates with us through the Bible. We communicate with God through prayer. So every day, we need to go to Him in prayer and allow Him to come to us through His Word by opening the Word, reading it, meditating on it, searching it. Gather manna through the means of grace. See, one reason we gather so little is because we take the means of grace so for granted. We come up to church sometimes so carelessly. We open the Bible so flippantly. We go to prayer so thoughtlessly. And we gather so little. But let us go, dear friends, let us go to these means of grace with holy expectation, expecting more, because God's a great God, and meditating upon it. Not just reading the Bible. Far better read 3 verses and meditate on it than read 1,000 and don't meditate on it. Let it sink in. What does this phrase mean? What does this verse mean to me? What food is there? Where is Jesus in this verse? Think about it. How can I feed on manna, the Lamb of God, in this verse? Or this sermon, or in pouring out my prayer to God. We need to go daily, participate daily in this gathering work. Well, let us give others a chance to remember the death of the Lord till He comes. We'll sing 415, stanza 4, 415. Stanza 4. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. If any man eat of me, I am the water of life. If any man drink of me, out of his belly shall flow forth living waters. Oh, come, those of you who are not strangers of him, and drink and eat. Yea, drink and eat abundantly, oh, beloved. For this is his pleasure. I desire to have this Last Supper with you. His delight is to eat and drink with the sons of men. He is faithful. He will not forsake the works of his own hands. And so he delights to to go. He delights to be faithful. He delights to commune with the hungry and the thirsty. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we bow a third time before Thee around this table. Please come, Lord, and reassure poor needy murmurers of the superabounding riches of Thy grace, and that we may leave this table with all our murmuring receiving a firm, crushing blow, seeing no man save Jesus only, and crying out, He is altogether lovely. His legs are as pillars of marble. He's strong. He's steady. He's tender. He's kind. I will eat of Him and drink of Him all my life, yea, to all eternity. For He is all my desire. Christ, all and in all. Oh, make it real, make it true in these moments. For Jesus' sake, amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat, as He has said, for this is my body, broken for you, and for many, for the remission of all your sins. This do in remembrance of me. Now, friends, there's one more thing we need to learn from this gathering, the gathering of manna. And that is that to gather it, you don't have to climb a tree to try to reach it, but you have to stoop to pick it up. There's a powerful picture here. To gather, to drink, to eat of Jesus Christ is not something too high for sinners, but it's something that makes us bow. It's something that makes us see what we deserve. It makes us humbled in the dust, and it causes us then to stoop to receive it. And this is a very beautiful thing, because what it means is, you see, that no sinner is too low, too hard, too far from this manna. It's right at your tent door. You just have to stoop to receive it. Stoop and confess, I'm a sinner. I'm a murmurer. I can't feed myself. I need the Savior for all my sins. And so stooping, you gather. Just the opposite of what we think, right? We think we're not converted enough, we don't do this enough, and we don't do that enough. And God says, no, no, no. You've got it all wrong. I've done everything for you. Just come as a sinner and receive by stooping and pick up what lays beneath you, not above you. But how? How could God come beneath us when God is holy and high and lifted up? Well, again, the answer is manna. Jesus Christ, He comes. And how low did He come? In the manger. How low did He come? On the cross. He went even to the depths of hell, so that you, dear believer, will never have to go there. Below the lowest. Samuel Rutherford said, "I'm such a sinner that my Lord had to go to the bottom of hell to find me. But he came beneath me even there. Even in the bottom of hell, he came beneath me." There's no one for whom Jesus is too high. "I am meek and lowly." Lowly. Don't ever think that Jesus is out of your reach. But bow and stoop and feed on him. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. He has said, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of all your sins. This do in remembrance of me." But our text this morning talks about something else as well. Not only the gift of manna and the gathering of manna, but also the test of manna. Did you notice what the last words of Exodus 16, verse 4 say? God says, "Thou shalt go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove you whether you will walk in my law or no." Isn't that interesting? I will prove you whether you will walk in my law or no. So, the law of the gospel and the law of the law both teach us that Jesus Christ is the answer. The answer for our soul, he's the fulfillment of the law. And the manna proves whether we'll walk in his way, his whole way, his way of salvation, his way of living. And so what God is doing is he's testing us through the manna, as well as giving us salvation through the manna. He's testing us whether we'll really be willing to live out of the bread of life, or whether we'll hanker for other things. Will you really live day by day in daily dependence? That's the test. Will you live in daily dependence out of this manna? Or will you, like Israel, after a while, get tired of the manna and even complain about the manna? What a tragedy that is. That's what they did. They had this wonderful manna that fed them every day for 40 years, and after a while, they said, "Our souls loathe this bread." Imagine that. And yet, don't we tend to do the same thing? We get so used to hearing the gospel. It doesn't sound fresh sometimes, and then we start complain about this sermon, or we complain about, they can't understand the Bible, or we complain. What are we complaining about? We're complaining about the bread. We're complaining about the manna of God's provision. And so the Lord's Supper is a time not only to strengthen us, but it's also a time to test us. Will we be satisfied with God's salvation and God's provision? Or will we, like so many churches today and so many religions today, look for something else, look for some second blessing, or look for something added to Jesus? Or will we be satisfied only with God's manna? You see, God tests us. "I will give them this day by day to prove them whether they will walk in my way or no? Well, let's give others an opportunity to show forth the death of the Lord till he come. We'll sing 415, stanza 5. 415, stanza 5. Once more, the Lord invites the poor and the needy to come forward and to remember the death of the Lord. He comes and he says to us, I am manna, I am the bread of life. In me there is bread enough and to spare. And so your place, dear friends, your place is around the table of the Lord with the people of God, if your only hope is in Jesus Christ. But if your life is in something else, if you can get along without that manna, then indeed you should remain in your seat. And so we invite you, there's still room, we invite you a final time this morning to come to the table of the Lord if Christ Jesus is your only hope and your only salvation. Are there then no more who can say that I'm a poor murmurer and Jesus Christ is my only hope? So that's really true then, my friend. You can make ends meet without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to deny an invitation from the Lord of glory to come and taste the only precious food in all the world for a poor sinner. And you're going to push it away one more time and say, no, don't give me the only food. Why are you doing that? Well, maybe you say, I'm afraid of eating and drinking judgment to myself. Do you know who the Bible wrote that to? Eating and drinking judgment to yourself. God wrote that to Corinthians who were coming to the table to fill their stomachs. Anyone who fears eating and drinking judgment to himself is precisely the people it's not for. Just like anyone who fears he's committed the unpardonable sin, he hasn't committed it. The very fear he has means he hasn't. If you fear you're eating judgment to yourself, and you come as a poor, needy sinner, you can be sure you're not eating judgment to yourself. So I ask you one more time, is there anyone else here who cannot live without the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope and their only salvation. Okay, let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, please be with us as we gather around this table. And remember those in tender, tender mercy who have said to us pastors many a time that they're lost sinners and their only hope is in Jesus. They still are not here. Oh, may they go out and weep bitterly like Peter, saying, I've denied the Lord. But also be merciful to them, Lord, and draw them on a future occasion. Don't destroy them, but have mercy upon them and their disobedience, and have compassion, we pray. But also be with us who have come. Lord, do bless us this morning. Do bless us around this last table. And do grant thyself to come near to us. And help us to leave this table walking in the way of obedience, obeying thy test, gathering the manna, being satisfied with the manna. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take and eat, as he has said, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Oh, what a Savior, giving his all for people who have nothing at all, testing us, even as we eat and drink, even as he gives himself away. He says, I will prove you. I will prove whether you will live in daily dependence upon me, not only. But now another part of that test is, I will prove whether you will walk in obedience to me. Will you walk in obedience to me? And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, God said you should gather just enough each day for one day. And then on Friday, you are to gather twice the amount for Saturday, because you are not to gather on Saturday, for you're not to work on Saturday. Now, what does that mean today? Well, what that means is God is getting very specific, and he's saying, don't try to gather for 2-3 days and then go without food. He's teaching us, in other words, we have to obey him down to the detail. And what that means is, if we really live by the manna, we must obey him who is the manna. And so the fruit of thankfulness is obedience. And he calls us to obey him. Do what my word says. And so as you get fed and refreshed and you learn to love me more and more, Jesus would say, keep my commandments. John 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And so what does that mean? Well, it means stop murmuring and obey me and do my word and walk in my ways and enjoy me. And enjoy my love for you. And enjoy your relationship with me. Enjoy my salvation. Feast on it. And live off of it. And tell others about it. glorify my name with it. This is the test. Not just daily dependence, but obedience. Oh, I want to obey thee, Lord. David says, when my heart is enlarged with God, I will run in the way of all thy commandments. So Christians are no legalists on the one hand, but they're no antinomians on the other. They want to obey God from the heart with joy. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. He has said, drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of all their sins. This do in remembrance of me. And now, dear friends, the best wine is saved till last. You see, this Savior who gives the manna, who gives the bread, who gives the wine, and asks us to spiritually feast on him. That Savior is coming, and he's on his way to gather us. The manna with a capital M is on his way to gather us so that this corruption may put an incorruption. This murmurer may put on a spirit of no murmuring. And this mortality may put on immortality. And we shall ever be with the manna forever. No more struggling to obey. No more walking by faith alone. But now walking by sight, enjoying his presence, enjoying his fellowship, sinless in body, sinless in soul, drinking, eating, where there are pleasures forevermore. For at his right hand there is feasting forevermore, bathing in his love, feasting in his presence, relishing his communion. There we shall enjoy seeing him and knowing him and loving him and living to him forever. No interruption, no intermission. Forever with the Lord. Manna, the manna of life, forever. And there we no longer have to ask the question, what is it? Because now we will know. Even as we are known, now we shall be like him. Face to face we shall see him, and we shall be known even as we are known. And we shall say, this is the altogether lovely one, whose legs are as pillars of marble, the strong one, the glorious one, the God of my salvation. And we shall take the crown off of our own head and cast it to his feet, and say, O bread of life, O Lamb of God, O Lion out of the tribe of Judah, O Redeemer, O Kinsman, O Elder Brother, O Lover and Friend, to thee be all glory and all honor and all dominion paid, for thou art the eternal manna of my life. And that day there will be no more testing, but in that day there will just be relishing. Intimacy, enjoyment. And he who betrothed you here will be married to you hereafter. And he will bring you as his beautiful bride into his presence. And you will be dressed, as Revelation 19 says, in the fine linen, the white linen of the saints. And you shall be pure. And every murmuring shall cease. And you shall be with the Lord forever. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. He is our life. He is our manna. And now, dear children of God, go out and live for him. Go out and surrender your life to him. Go out and obey him. Stop murmuring. And live. Live for the glory of this worthy manna. Let's sing from Psalter 415, stanza 6. 415, stanza 6. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let's close with thanksgiving. O almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Spirit, thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing now Psalter 415. Psalter 415, and we'll sing 7, 8, and 10. 7, 8, and 10 of 415.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.